wonder what in the world is he talking about. Well, I've been traveling with a couple of weeks to Africa, to a village called XY. I see Brooke sitting over here and Stephanie right here, and they were part of the team. And the team of ladies ministered to a team of young Wolof women and shared just the incredible story of Esther in a way that was easily understood, I believe, by each one of what the gospel means to them. And it was a powerful time. We focused on the village you've heard us talk about called XY. And I'm not giving you a report this morning. Just wanted to give a little two-minute little ditty. We will later on give you a fuller report. But XY is the village that Gateway is focused on, and the Women's Training Center, those two areas. Because we believe that God has called us to reach the Wolof and to see a church planted, to see the gospel take root. And it was an incredibly exhausting but productive trip. And we saw the enemy at times kind of push back, but you were praying. And I believe that he was defeated. 9 out of the 11 team experienced some type of sickness and illness, maybe the Senegalese diet, if you know what I mean. Okay, there you go right there. And other issues going on and some other things. But I believe that the gospel is going to take root. And I shared with the team, I don't know what it will take to see the chief of this village, XY, or see a move of God amongst the women's center. But Jesus knows what it will take. And I believe as we're faithful and keep pressing forward, we're going to see a church planted. Amongst his people group. And my heart beats for that. And your heart does too. And I thank you for what you do. I thank you for your prayers. I thank you for your giving. You know, Gateway invested in a wall around the school. You'll see pictures of that if you haven't already. We don't call it a wall. We call it a bridge. And you know, since last year, what has started now is a Bible club in that school. The team on the ground there is able to come in on Mondays and have a Bible club. That wasn't happening before. Bible storing is returning to the village. And we're just seeing incredible doors open up because of what Jesus is doing. So you're going to hear more about that. But thank you for your prayers. The team thanks you for your prayers. And keep praying, will you? I don't know what it will take for the gospel to take a foothold in that village, but Jesus knows what will take. And I just think that as we keep praying and doing what we can, well, we don't have to worry about God because he does his part. Amen. Amen. I'm going to say something this morning. We're continuing the series that we launched last week called Family Matters. It really is all about resolving conflict within our families and whatever your family looks like. So that may be you and your spouse, your husband, your wife. If you're married, it may be you and a close friend. It may be you and your work family. Maybe you and your neighborhood family. Maybe you and your kids. Maybe you helping your students resolve conflict. Shelley will be joining us in a little bit as we kind of focus on how do we help our students, our young students, resolve conflict in a way that honors the Lord. Now, I'm going to say something, and based on your response, I'll see if you believe me or not. Are you ready? In my 42 years of marriage and raising our kids, we have never experienced conflict. Now, that word liar came through your mind there in just a moment there, right? Yeah, for sure. Well, or some other word, maybe. And if I asked you, have you ever experienced conflict, and you said no, then we need to have an altar call right now, and you need to come to Jesus. That's what I'm saying. So that's what we're talking about, because conflict is a part of our life. I mean, don't you wish that we lived in a home, or you lived in a home, or you lived in an environment where, like, you never got the eye? You know what I mean? Or you never got that look, right? Or that frown, or that facial expression, you know, that you just knew what was coming. Maybe you're one of those, and you're going, like, great, this is a Sunday I'm here, because on the way to church today, there was conflict in the car. And maybe you fought with that person, and you know, and maybe that happened to you, you know, and it's like it's never happened to me. Because I walk to church, that's why, so anyway, and I leave before Jen does, and so, right, I mean, we've been there, right, and so we come into church, and like, it was a blow up in the car with the kids and with the family and stuff, and we park the car out here, then amazingly, we put a smile on our face, and we walk in, and it looks like everything is perfect, right? That's kind of the world that we live in. We live in a world where there's conflict, and they range from the very small to, you know, the large, big things, but conflict happens in the home, and conflict happens in life. It happens within our work environment and so on. And last week, when Jason opened the series, he said something that if you were here, maybe someone's going, really, is that true? And it was this, that conflict presents a tremendous opportunity. It does, to bring honor and glory to God. And that's our focus. And I want to share some key scriptures this morning before we get to how do we resolve conflict personally within our lives and with the people that are part of our lives. And again, it may be a close relationship. It may be a family member. It may be a spouse. But we're going to talk about how do we do that in such a way that God is honored, okay? That's what we're going to talk about today, and Shelly's going to come in. When she comes in with the kids, let's give them a great big round of applause, shall we? And the kids will be sitting down front here, and she's going to give us some help in how we help our students do that. Let me give you a couple scriptures as we launch into this morning. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21. Those who love to talk will experience a consequence, for the tongue can kill or nourish life. How many have been on one side or the other of that scripture? Raise your hand, right? Yeah, all of us, right? So those who love to talk, well, we experience a consequence, so the tongue kills or it nourishes life. And maybe the life was sucked out of you this week by the way someone responded to you. Or maybe you're on the other end and like you were just given life because of the words that were spoken to you. Or maybe you were the one who spoke words of life. Or just maybe in a moment, in an intense moment, maybe you sucked the life out of someone. I mean, we're all there because that's part of conflict. Ephesians 4:29, Paul says this, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs that may benefit those who listen. I love that passage. Let's leave it up for just a moment. If you're someone who circles words in your Bible, man, just think about circling, building others up according to their needs, and circle that may benefit those who listen. Circle those because you notice that the focus of our words is not ourselves; it's the other person. The talk that comes out of our mouths is to build one another up according to whose needs? Their needs that may benefit who? Yeah, those who listen. And how many times have we been in that position or that spot where we've either been the recipient of, or maybe we've done this too, I just said this because I just needed to get it off my chest. Anyone ever done that? I've done that. Let's be honest. We probably all have done that, haven't we? Or we've been the recipient of someone who just needed to get something off their chest. But Paul says, look, the words that we use are meant to be wholesome and to benefit others according to their needs and not my own. Conflict is a part of our lives. It happens. The important thing is this, that we realize there's the great opportunity to honor God, and that's what we're talking about today. It's critical how we handle conflict. Now, let me give you the definition once again. Conflict is a difference in opinion or purpose that frustrates someone's goals or desires. Conflict is a difference in opinion or purpose that frustrates someone's goals or desires. Now, if you're a parent, depending on how old your student is, it's amazing how your 2-year-old or your 3-year-old or your 4-year-old can frustrate your goals as a parent. Isn't it true? Or even, you know, teenagers. It's amazing, man. Your goals are, everything is frustrated because of the way they're acting or it just never seems to go right. There's a difference of opinion maybe between you and your spouse, or you and your workmate, and it results in conflict. Talk about how do we navigate that area of our life in a way that's God-honoring? Conflict is a tension that develops when two or more people differ. And as long as there's life, two or more people are going to differ. So the goal here is not to find common ground where you never have a difference at all. That's just not life, and that will never, never happen. The goal here is how do we resolve those things? How do we negotiate that territory? Now, what causes conflict? Well, the list is long, but let me just give you four real quickly before we get to a really key scripture. Number one, misunderstandings. How many have ever been involved in a conflict where you discovered it was just a complete misunderstanding? Raise your hand. Right, yeah, yeah. So that's one of the causes of conflict. How about this one? A difference in values and goals. So your values are different and your goals are different. You come up against someone or situation where the goals and values are different, and suddenly that causes conflict. How about this one? Limited resources. Competition over limited resources. Could be finances. Could be a host of other things. And because there's limited resources maybe in your family, in your situation, like it's caused conflict in your life. Or are you ready for this one? Sinful attitudes. Did I just touch on something here? See, if I told you my attitude towards Jen has always been godly, you again would say, sometimes we have sinful attitudes, don't we, that result in conflict. The Bible talks about our response to conflict and directs our attention not away from conflict. And I'll talk about that in just a moment because there's a difference here between peacekeepers and peacemakers. The Bible doesn't direct our way away from conflict, but talks to us about how to deal with it in such a way that God is glorified. Now, key verse here, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 21. Mark it in your Bible, highlight it, or memorize it. It's a short verse. So whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. Whether you eat or drink, and everybody say, whatever, or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. So when you eat, do it for the glory of God. When you drink, for the glory of God. And then whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. And that includes this area of conflict resolution. Whether you're going about your daily business, in the home, whatever, do it all for the glory of God. One more scripture. And it's an important one in this arena. Romans chapter 12, verse 18. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Man, look at the command of that scripture again. As far as it depends on you, that's a call to action. Live at peace with everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. You know what we sometimes do? We just wait for the next person to make a move. And we kind of sit back, right? In my relationship with Jen or in a relationship with our family, go, look, when you take the first step, then I'll take a step. Or when that happens, I'll just sit back and wait. When that happens, then I'll go ahead and I can move forward on that. Look, as far as it depends on who? You. Live at peace with everyone. Now, there's a difference between peacekeeping and peacemaking, and I want to draw that distinction because some of us find ourselves, honestly, in a peacekeeping mode and not a peacemaking mode. So there's a difference between peacekeeping and peacemaking. Peacekeepers will do anything and everything, including denying a conflict exists, just to do what? Keep the peace. Don't bring it up. Don't talk about it. Don't recognize that it's there. Just do what? Keep the peace. I'm not going to address it. I'm not going to do anything that might resolve it. We're just going to keep the peace. And some of you grew up in a home like that, didn't you? You'll see on the slippery slope in just a moment that the way that we handle conflict in our lives is largely due to how we were raised in an environment where peacekeeping was part of our family. We learned to kind of stuff things away and don't talk about it. So we don't talk about it. There's peacekeeping, but peace and peacemaking. We're called to be peacemakers, peacekeepers do anything and everything so that conflict doesn't surface. Peacemakers pursue the commands of Scripture, and that is to, as far as it depends on us, live at peace with everyone. Well, I don't like it. Well, sometimes I don't like it either, because peacemaking calls us to action. But I've said it before, and I've tried to say it very carefully. I love the Scripture, and I love the wisdom of Scripture. I don't know that I always like everything Scripture calls me to do, because I want to resolve conflict in the way that I want to resolve conflict, humanly speaking, right? I want to get back at a person. I want to defend myself. I want to go off that on that person, humanly speaking. But the Bible calls us to a different action, to be peacemakers. That's what we're talking about this morning. And that's where we're to live as disciples of Jesus. John chapter 8, verse 31 says, those who are disciples follow his teachings. And so this is the teaching of the Bible and how we're to resolve conflict in our lives. Now, last week, Jason mentioned the four G's that provide kind of a roadmap for dealing with conflict. The key question is this: how can I glorify God and honor him in the situation? So some of you are in a situation right now, either in your home, your family, your spouse if you're married, relationship if you're not, in a work life, where you're embroiled in conflict. And the question is, how can God be glorified in this? It's a key question. The four G's really quickly are these: we're to glorify God. Or how can I glorify and honor him in this situation? That's a key question. Secondly, get the log out of your own eye. We're going to come back to that one in just a moment. The question is this: how have I contributed to the conflict, and what do I need to do to resolve it? Or how do I live as a peacemaker? And then go and show your brother his fault, and go and be reconciled. Now we're going to focus in on that second G. What is it that I need to do to resolve the conflict? And we're going to focus in on biblical peacemaking, personal peacemaking, something that ought to be a part of each one of our lives. And more, so important to us, if you're married, you have family, you have kids, is how we live this out is so important to how we instruct our kids. They're watching us. When we resolve conflict in a way that's unbiblical, and you have children, they're watching you and they're watching me. They're watching all of us. When we resolve conflict, how we resolve conflict in a faith community, we're teaching our kids something about what God's called us to do, or how to be peace breakers. We'll talk about that in just a moment. The Bible speaks about one way, I'm convinced, and it's a way that honors him. So let's bring up something called the slippery slope. It's a little graphic here, and while you look at that, I'd like you to think about something, what I just call the dreaded exercise ball. You know what I mean? How many have those blow-up exercise ball in your home, or you've seen those things, okay? Yeah, I had one, and I blew it up. Now I was determined to use it, and it's about as fast as I blew it up, I deflated it, you know, and it was because I tried to sit on that thing, and I don't know if you've ever had one, and you try to sit on it, and you try to lift up your feet like that, every time, flop to one side, right, or flop to this other side, just could never get this thing to work just right. Well, there are some of you who do that really, really well, and the reason you do it really, really well is because you practiced it. And it's similar to the slippery slope here. Look, we've tried to resolve conflict this way, and we've fallen to the left side or we've fallen to the right side, to what I just call our default response. We've been raised in an environment where we learn to escape conflict. Talk about that in just a moment. Some of the escape responses, and we flop to that side. Or we were raised in a home or a situation where suddenly the attack side is where we end up. Because in our home, right, conflict would surface and bam, there was an attack. And it was always an argument and always a fight. And here they come, their kids and Shelly, so let's give them a hand. Shelby, they can come right down front here. Yay. Yeah, they're going to come right down front. So, right on, because there's a slippery slope just for students. We'll get to that in just a moment. Let me go through these really, really quick. I'll just give you the left side and the right side real quick here, and then I want to focus in on that green area. So on the left side, they're the escape responses. So kind of begin with denial here, right there, and then flight is the next one. And then ultimately, when one just escapes totally, completely, they just decide life is over, and that happens as well. Escape responses. Sometimes peacekeeping, see, or peace faking is what we call that. So let's go to the right side real quick, right? This is the attack side, and some of you will recognize it because you were raised in a home where that's how conflict was handled in your life, right? So on the first red box, there's this litigation. That just says, look, you offended me, I'm going to sue you. How about that right there? So that's the first thing, right? It's just, we're going to get back at you. You know, we're going to get, and this is the way I'm going to do it. Then assault is the second one, and then ultimately murder. Now, it's not just physically taking someone's life, although that's a part of that, by the way. But for Christians, we know that we can actually take away a person's reputation, right? We can attack that person in such a way that we can take away their reputation. We can really suck the life right out of them. That's peace breaking. So on the one side, we have peace faking. And then on this side, we have peace breaking. We're going to see that, right, on the kid's slippery slope here in just a second. Let's talk about that center area where we are called to live. And just going to talk about the first three, because I think that's where 90% of us or most of us live, in this personal peacemaking side. There's the assisted peacemaking side when church leadership gets involved. But I think most of us deal with the first three in what's called personal peacemaking. Before we do that, just let me read this to you, because the center is where we want to be. Peacemakers, remember, not peacekeepers, peacemakers are people who breathe grace. Inspired by the gospel, they draw continually on the goodness and power of Jesus Christ, and then breathe out his love, mercy, forgiveness, and wisdom to dissipate anger, improve understanding, promote justice, and model repentance and reconciliation. That's kind of long, but I love it. Peacemakers are those people who breathe grace, inspired by the gospel, because we've received grace, and we in turn do the same. So let's get to the conciliation responses or personal peacemaking for just a moment. The first thing that we're called to do now as believers, as followers of Jesus, is to overlook an offense. Are you ready? Proverbs chapter 19, verse 11. A man's wisdom gives him patience. It is to his glory to overlook an offense. Just think about it for a second. How many times would God be honored in your life and in my life if we just overlooked that offense? If we just pause for just a moment and go, okay, that one's not worth it, right? And because we choose to overlook it, bitterness has no chance to take root. We're making a deliberate decision not to talk about it or not to dwell on it. We overlook it. And I want you to see something that's really, really important. Because you'll notice on the blue line right there that we bring the slippery slope up again. The blue line is a very thin line, and denial and overlook are just right there together. Here's the deal. From the outside, they both look the same. One can be denying a conflict and overlooking a conflict, and from the outside, they look the same. But they're opposite on the inside, because one deals with the heart, overlook, and the other one allows that thing in there just to fester because we're keeping it pushed down. You see, there's a difference. And we're called first in personal peacemaking to honor God by overlooking an offense. Just think about how many conflicts could have been resolved simply by overlooking it. See, we'll get to that kid's thing in just a moment, all right? And the next one is reconciliation. So here it is. If an offense is too serious, so when do we not overlook it? When an offense is too serious to overlook or has damaged your relationship. So it's damaged your relationship between you and the person that you love, family member, someone at work. It's just too serious to overlook. Now you need to move to that next area, personal conflict resolution, called reconciliation. Matthew chapter 5, verse 23 and 24. Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, or if your brother has something against you, go and be reconciled. There's action on our part. Go and be reconciled. Do something about it. If something has happened, you go. Now, that's the part that we sometimes don't like, right? I mean, we're all honest, right? We're to take action. We're to go back to Romans, as far as it depends on you. Go. Do something. Let God be honored. Let God be glorified. When we talk about conflict as an opportunity, sometimes we're just not seeing the opportunity there. Go and be reconciled. Matthew chapter 5. Verse 23 and 24, brothers, if someone is caught in, Galatians chapter 6, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. Matthew 18, forgive as the Lord forgave you. Colossians chapter 3. So personal peacemaking involves sometimes going to that person. But what's the third area of personal conciliation or personal peacemaking? It's a area called negotiation. Philippians chapter 2, verse 4. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. So as we go, even if we successfully resolve relational issues. There may be issues that we work through. There are material issues. It could be related to money or property or other rights. And it's done in a cooperative setting where we agree on certain things. That's all called personal peacemaking. That's the green zone. That's what Jesus calls us to do as followers of him. Be a part of honoring God through personal peacemaking that begins by overlooking an offense. If a relationship has been damaged or is too serious to overlook, then we're to go and be reconciled. We go to that person, we talk it out, and it may involve negotiation where we come to some type of an agreement between two people. The next three are, deal with assisted peacemaking. If that can't happen, let's come to the church. But we're kind of focusing in on this area. Now, that's what we're to do. But, hey, it's for everybody, right? So let's bring it to Slippery Slope for kids.
Now, kids, I know Pastor Tom said some pretty big words, but I think you actually know what they might mean. So do you guys know what the word conflict means? What does the word conflict? What does conflict mean? What do you think? Siri? When two people are fighting. When two people are fighting. That's good. So, like, I have a little example here. Do you guys know what this is? A block of what? A block of wood. That's right. Does anybody know what this is? Sandpaper. Good job, Wesley. So, now, if I'm going to sand this thing, I'm going to put pressure against this, okay? And then I'm going to do this, right? Now, here's the thing. If I touch this sandpaper now, whoo, is it cold or hot? It's hot. Does anybody know why it is hot? Wesley? It rubs up against each other and it makes friction. So guess what? You guys live in a house where you're bumping into people all the time, right? And you're not going to always agree on everything. So a conflict is it's any time, anything that's going to lead you to a disagreement or an argument where you guys don't see eye to eye. And so it's kind of like this. Everybody put your hands together like this, right? And I want you to put them together and just rub as fast as you can, okay? Do it. Okay, now put it on your hand, put it on your cheeks. Hot or cold?
Hot.
It's hot. See, friction makes heat. But in our lives, that might be anger. Or it might come out as even things like jealousy, or it might come out as things like, when we get really, really mad because we can't do something that we really want to do. So conflict creates friction, and it kind of heats up the situation. So what we're talking about is, how do we deal with those situations? So let's see. Conflict doesn't just happen at home. It can happen with your friends. It can even happen at school when you're hanging out with people, right? Have you guys ever had conflict anywhere before? Yeah. Yes, that's what I thought. So conflict might look like this. You just got a brand new art set, and your little brother came in, and he broke all of the crayons, and he, got all the ink out of all of your brand new markers. Is that some heat, some conflict? Probably. What about your sister changes the TV channel right in the middle of your favorite show? Dominic, I know. Like, oh, no, they wouldn't do that to me, would they? That's some conflict, right? That's going to produce some heat. What about this? You want to ride bikes and your friend wants to play video games. And no one wants to do what the other person wants to do. And so what? It creates conflict. What about this? A friend borrows your bike, and they bring your bike back, and it's damaged. They've gotten into an accident, and it's broken, and now you can't ride it. What do you guys think? Little bit of heat there. So your parents tell you to do your chores, and of course, 99% of the time, you're like, yes, mother and father, right? I'm going to go do... Yeah. Is that not what they do? Okay, we got some work to do in kids' church. So, when your parents say, hey, I need you to do this chore, and you're like, I don't want to. Those are things that can cause conflict. So, looking at our slippery slope here, there's three different ways that we would normally respond. And as kids, this is ways that you guys respond. On the left, it's escape. So, to deny it. So, if somebody came and said, hey, you broke my bike. You would say, no, I didn't. I just left it outside and somebody else broke it. That's denial. Or, oh, no, they didn't really do that. It's fine. You know, it doesn't really matter. Or the blame game. Well, it's not my fault that happened. It's so-and-so's fault. Or maybe it's to run away. Your parents ask you to do a chore and you go hide in the closet because you don't think you'll have to do it if you go hide. So that's one response that we have, is to kind of run and go the other direction and not even deal with it. Then if we go all the way around and you go to the attack side, this is how some people respond to conflict, and that heat and that pressure. One thing that they might do is if someone does something to them, someone calls you a name, well, then you call them a name right back. Someone's mean to you, so you're mean right back. Someone hits you, and so you hit them harder. Your sister turns the channel on the TV, so you take the remote and you put it right back, right? Right? Okay, that's what I thought. But this is when you get into fights, because your response is either to kind of run away and pretend like it didn't happen, or it goes to the other side and you start to attack and go after that person. Do either of those options sound really good?
No.
Not so much, right? They don't sound very healthy. So what we're talking about, this slippery slope, it's really, really slippery up at the top, but we need to hang out in that middle part. Can you guys read what that says? What does it say? Work it out. So here's the main points for that one. Working it out. So overlook the offense. You know what? My little brother, he's only a year old, and he didn't know that that art set was really special to me. So how about next time I will go put it away in my room so that he can't get to it? Okay? I'm going to overlook that offense. The other thing would be to talk it out. So two of you guys are in kids' church and you're fighting over the basketballs. Creates a little bit of conflict. Never seen that before. No. But when it creates a little bit of conflict, then what you guys can do is say, oh, you know what? Only two of us can play at a time. When we're done, I will give you a turn. Or saying to your sister who changed the channel, you know what? I was watching that. If I can just finish that, I will hand the remote to you and then you can watch what you want. So it's working it out. It's talking it through. And the third one is very important, because sometimes serious things happen or someone makes you really mad and you don't think that you can deal with it very well and that work it out. You can't overlook it. You don't think that you can talk it out, or you try to talk to them and they run away or they don't want to talk or they want to fight. Do you know what you do? You ask for help. Who are some people in your life that when you're dealing with conflict and you want to know what to do and you want to do the right thing, who is somebody that you can go to? Wesley?
Parents.
Your parents. Who else can you go to? Your mom, your dad, your aunt, your uncle. You can go to God. God can help you out. What if you're at school? Who can you go to when you're at school? Your teachers. What about if you're at church? Who can you go to?
Pastor.
One of the pastors, one of the leaders. There's Miss Ashen right there. There's Miss Annalise over there. There's me right here. You can come and ask us to help you, and we will help you guys to deal with that conflict and that heat. So it doesn't keep making heat and explode. What it does is we can cool the situation and help you guys work through it.
Ah, there you go. Work it out. Everybody say work it out. Work it out. And that may connect actually with most of us. Probably does. More so than the other, maybe. Let me just ask you a question as we pray here. What is it that Jesus is saying to you today? Some of us, we were raised in this environment that we just so easily go to the attack side, don't we? Or maybe we go to the other side, the escape side, regardless of our age. And that's just the way that we resolve conflict. It's not God-honoring. We're called to live in this green zone, to be peacemakers. As far as it depends upon you, live at peace. Now, we're going to be all over the map on this one. Some of you are doing really, really good at that. And I suggest just keep on doing it. Keep on doing what you do well. You could teach us better than we could. Some of us were raised in an environment where we attack, and that's just where we always find ourselves. And look, we've tried it, but it just doesn't work out. It's like sitting on the exercise ball. I tried it, didn't work out, therefore I deflate it, and off I go. Now I'm going to ask you, what is it Jesus is calling you to do, to live in that green zone where he's honored? Conflict is a part of our life. It's going to be. It's going to be in our marriages, it's going to be in our families, it's going to be in our work life. What's he calling you to do in order to live in this green zone? For some of us, it's peace faking. It's over here on this side. We just stuff it all down. And we've got something in us that's festering and It's created bitterness and so on. It's not God-honoring. But he's calling us to come this way or to come this way, regardless of our age. What is he saying to us this morning to work it out in such a way that he is honored and he is glorified? 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. Whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Can God be honored in conflict? Yes, he can. As we live out biblical commands and resolving conflict in our lives, I pray that we do. Because the world is watching. Facebook's not the place to resolve conflict. Someday I'm going to teach on that. Now look, I'm a Facebook guy. I'm a Twitter guy. I'm Instagram. That's not the place to resolve conflict. We resolve conflict in a way that honors him. We overlook. We go and be reconciled. We negotiate. We work it out. We talk to someone. Let's stand together, shall we? I'm going to pray, and I'm just going to invite us this morning. Just open up our hearts to him. You're watching online. I just invite you this morning to join with us and just saying, Jesus, what is it you're saying to me? What is it this morning you're calling me to do? And maybe you get so frustrated with yourself because you flop to this side or you flop to this side. It's really not what you want to do. But it just ends up being that way. Holy Spirit, God, give us the strength to live in this green zone, to resolve conflict in our lives that is honoring of you. So, Father, we just come to you again today. God, we're all over the map on this one. And some of us were raised in homes where everything was a conflict and went to the attack mode so quickly. And that's become part of our life. For some of us, we were raised with the other model where conflict was never recognized and it was never dealt with. And so we've learned to run away from it. God, you've called us to resolve conflict in a way that honors you, that doesn't give the devil a foothold into our lives. And so what is it that Jesus is saying to you, regardless of your age? What is he speaking to you this morning? What is it that we need to give up to him today? As far as it depends on you, live at peace. Maybe we're the peacekeeper. We've done everything tonight. And he calls us to be peacemakers. So God, that's what we want to do. We want to honor you. We want to live out your commands in such a way that you're honored and that you're glorified. And others watching us, watching our families, watching our individual work lives, will see that we handle this area differently. And ultimately so that you're lifted up and you're glorified. Help us as parents to model this in such a way that our kids are learning from us the right way, the biblical way to resolve conflict. I pray for every student here, regardless of how old, regardless of the age, Lord. As we commit ourselves to you, you'll be honored and you'll be glorified. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen. Now next week, Josiah is going to be here. And Josiah, come on up here real quick, will you? And our student pastor right here. And right on. Hey, dude, is your name Josiah too? Yeah. Hey, no. That's awesome, brother. Hey, no, that's cool. You're Josiah. Did you know his name's Josiah too? You're right on the microphone. Well, how about that? Yeah, there you go. That's awesome. Yeah. Poor Josiah. I'm sorry, man. I owe him something. I can tell that. Next week, so we're going to be talking about a little bit more. We're going to talk about the seven A's of a confession. You'd be real interested in what they are. And also with students, what the five questions that...
Yeah, I get to talk about the five things the kids are saying behind your back. So,
yeah, that's next week.
You're going to want to tune in for that. That's
you're
going to
want to tune in. And so how can we help students to live this out, right?
Yeah.
In a way. So
absolutely.
It's going to be great. So that's next Sunday. All right. So you want to be sure and be here. Talking about family matters. So, Father, thank you for today. Thank you, Lord, for the grace that we have received. Help us to not just breathe that in, but breathe it out, Lord, in such a way that impacts the lives of others. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone said, amen. See you next Sunday. God bless you.